I want to invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus, chapter 3, page 46 in your Red Pew Bibles. We're going to look at a story that is probably familiar with many of us. We can go back to Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. That's what I always think about when I have come across this passage of Scripture. But we are in our series, Preparing the Soil of Our Soul, going through this Lenten time. And, you know, the whole idea behind this and what we want to think about is, how can we prepare our life? How can we prepare our souls for Easter? You know, it's something we don't think about very much. You know, if you're like me, you live a lot of life on autopilot. And a lot of times it's like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, and things are good, and I go to heaven. But there's something to be said that when Easter rolls around, that we want to be at our spiritual best at Easter, because it is the greatest day in the history of the world, the resurrection. And so we kind of want to, like, let's enjoy that. Let's be able to enjoy that to the fullest in our spiritual lives, right? So, Exodus chapter 3, there was a guy by the name of Bob Benson who had told a story about his close friend whose name was W.T. W.T. had a serious heart attack, and for a while it didn't look like he was going to make it. But over time, he grew better. He got enough strength where he was able to have the surgery that gave him a new lease on life. And Bob was recalling a conversation that he had. He and W.T. were talking about this experience. And so he asked him, W.T., how did you like your heart attack? And W.T. responded, well, scared me to death, almost. Would you like to do it again? No. Would you recommend it? Definitely not. Does your life mean more to you than it did before? Well, yes. You and your wife Nell had always had a beautiful marriage, but now you are closer than ever, right? Yes. How about that new granddaughter? Oh, have I showed you a picture yet? Do you have a new compassion for people? And a deep understanding and sympathy towards people? Yes. Do you know the Lord in a richer, deeper fellowship than you ever realized could be possible? Yes. How do you like your heart attack? Silence was his answer. That's something to think about, you know? But if we allow him, God uses our wilderness experiences, our times of challenge and difficulty, to transform us and make us more useful for his kingdom. And our scripture today is about someone who had that very experience as we look at Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Little backstory. Moses was a Hebrew, but he was raised in an Egyptian household. He had all the privileges of wealth. But one day, as he is out walking around, he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. And so he goes up and he kills the Egyptian. And he buries his body in the sand. Looks around, doesn't think anybody sees him. But the Pharaoh finds out and starts to come after Moses. And so Moses has to escape to the desert, out into the wilderness. And that is where we pick up our story in chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Let's pray before we really dive into God's word here. Father, we thank you for this time together of worship. And another part of worship is when we open up your word and allow you to speak to us through your word. And so, Lord, we always come to the Bible with preconceived notions. Sometimes we've heard these stories before. We've heard how they were preached before. We've been raised a certain way. And so, Lord, we just have preconceived notions. But, Lord, you want to teach us things. And sometimes you have to break through our preconceived notions and ideas. And so, Lord, we ask you to do that here today. That you would open up our eyes and our hearts and our minds to understand what you want to teach us here. And as a result of it, may we become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in his name. Amen. Okay. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all the otherites. Verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, well, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, hey, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, oh, yeah, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Well, at this point in his life, Moses' life is kind of all messed up. He's a mess. He had gone from wealth to privilege, wealth and privilege to nothing in an instant. He went from royalty to being a humble shepherd working for his father-in-law in a foreign land. And so he's in exile. He's really not a part of any group. He doesn't fit in with the Israelites. He doesn't fit in with the Egyptians. One writer said, Moses is a man who has never really been at home anywhere. And I can imagine him saying, at this point, being a shepherd, I just need to get away. You ever say that? You ever have a tough time in life? And just say, man, I just need to get away. I need to go clear my head. I need to just take a drive. I just need to get away, think things through. This is Moses, because one of the things that Scripture says is that he leads the sheep to the far side of the wilderness. In other words, he's taking them way over there, right? Now, here's an interesting thing. Moses doesn't tell his wife where he's going, okay? He doesn't say to her, man, I just need to I need to go out and just meet God. I need to go out and find myself again. I need to go out on the spiritual treat and reconnect with God. He doesn't go to a conference or anything like that, right? The whole idea behind this is he's just a normal guy doing normal things, being a shepherd, whose life was upended, and he just wants to get away and to get an understanding here. And while he's there, this strange event happens of this bush that starts burning, but yet is not consumed, and he says, like we all probably would, let's go check that out. I know there's been things in the woods I've seen that have been kind of weird. Let's go check that out. This is Moses here, right? And he has this unexpected encounter with God in an unexpected fashion. Could you imagine? He finally goes home and he tells his wife about this experience. And tells his, you know, his wife kind of says, man, I thought you gave up drinking. Right? I mean, this is the perfect thing. What are you talking about? This is so weird. But here's what I want us to think about. I wonder how many times God has appeared to us at unexpected times and in unexpected ways. Perhaps it's just an odd occurrence in our day. Or maybe a surprise or an unexpected interruption to our day. And it is perhaps that those out of the ordinary times are burning bush experiences that God has placed in our day to kind of get our attention, because he kind of wants to move us in a certain direction or think in a certain fashion. And so there's our first wilderness lesson, and that is this: be on the lookout for divine disruption. Be on the lookout for divine disruptions. Now, a lot of times we as Christians, we are quick to thank God. Like if we're driving downtown and, oh, I always hate the parking is always so bad here. God, show me a parking spot. And we turn the corner. Oh, God, you're so awesome. You heard my prayer. And you pull in there and we thank God for things like that. But do we ever stop and think that perhaps, maybe, God also brings interruptions and inconveniences into our life to teach us something and to prepare us for his kingdom? I don't normally think like that. You know, I pride myself in being efficient. What I mean by that is, if you want me to accomplish a task in the most economical and efficient way, I'm your guy. Right, I can find the shortcuts. That's kind of the way. That's probably, and I told Diana, that's why I leave the kitchen drawers open. Right? Because you're just going to have to go. That's why I don't make my bed. Right? The same sort of thing. I'm efficient and economical. And so, you know, when you kind of think like that, and then I kind of live my work and throughout the day, so interruptions tend to throw a wrench into my efficient plans and my efficient projects. I was listening to a podcast the other day, a guy by the name of Tyler Statton, who calls himself an urban monk. He's an urban monk. He's a pastor. He's become a writer. He says he spends a lot of time in prayer with God. And I was listening to him just share this. He says, you know, he's incredibly organized. That's the way his thinking is. And he became really efficient and organized in his life and in his schedule, that, you know, everything was just kind of ordered out. You do this, and you do that, and you take time for prayer here and all that sort of thing. And here, he's got good and spiritual things that he's doing. It's not like these are frivolous. There's good and spiritual things. But he realized that he was missing some things on the periphery of his life, these unscheduled opportunities that he had to maybe connect with his children's other parents who were on his children's soccer team, or other parents in his kids' school, whom his wife had no problem connecting with because she's spontaneous, right? And she was just, you know, but he was scheduled and he realized that the way he lived his life was upended whenever the cancer hit his life. And then his intentional and his efficient agenda went right out the window. And he said, I wanted to know my purpose, not as the seamless execution of today's efficient agenda, but in becoming interruptible like Jesus. See, if you think about Jesus, Jesus had a purpose. Jesus had an agenda. Jesus was very intentional, but he often allowed himself to be interrupted by people. You know, sometimes we live our lives so busy and so jam-packed and so intentional that any disruption to our day just throws us out of whack. Where we go, that's me. That's me. When maybe those interruptions is a burning bush moment. When God is trying to direct us to a certain way for his kingdom or to teach us something. And so, friends, let's be on the lookout for divine disruptions. And maybe at the end of the day, you can kind of look back and just say, all right, that happened. Just reflect on it. God, is there anything that you want to teach me through that? Instead of just going, like I do. So God tells Moses, I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. In verse 11, then Moses says to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, the king of all Egypt, and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? You can imagine the look on Moses' face. What? What did you say? You want me to do what? Who am I? I don't have the credentials. This isn't me. And then in verse 13, he says, okay, so I go to the Israelite people and I tell them, this is, you know, I met God on this mountain, you know, and they're going to question me. They're going to grill me. You know, what if they ask me about that? God says, you know, I'll be with you. And then as we read further in this chapter and in chapter 4, Moses complains to God, I'm not your guy because I'm just not a good public speaker, if you can't tell yet, God. That's what he says. He says that to God. I've never been eloquent. How am I going to do this, right? He comes up with all these excuses. And so all that Moses can see is his shortcomings and failings and inadequacies. And let's be honest, when you read the story, it kind of looks like Moses is a coward. He's acting like a coward. But here's the thing. God does not leave Moses alone. He doesn't, you know. And God seems to enjoy inviting people to leave their comfort zone and embrace uncertainty and say, I want you to trust me. I want you to give yourself totally over to me because I'm going to transform you. And you are going to become a greater use to the kingdom. God uses this wilderness experience that Moses is in to get his attention and begin to transform him from an outcast and a wanderer and a shepherd into the epic leader and rescuer of God's people. So here's our second wilderness lesson that can help prepare the soil of our soul, is that God wants to transform me to make a kingdom impact. God doesn't just want us to get saved and go to heaven. He wants to transform us to impact his kingdom. A couple weeks ago during our midweek Bible study time, I had the privilege of sitting down with at the table with Jeannie Jamad and Nancy Rumbly, and we were just sitting there talking, and both Jeannie and Nancy were reflecting on the wilderness experiences that they had gone through in life, particularly big ones for each one. They just mentioned, you know, it wasn't a whole lifetime thing, but they were mentioned specific things, times of turmoil and despair and doubt about the future. You know, how am I going to be able to go on? And both of them had said this: I never imagined that I would be sitting in this place right now, in this church, doing what I am doing. At that time, it was I just never imagined it. But both of them had said, over time, God, you can use me. I trust you, right? And they had allowed God to transform them in that wilderness, and now they are both deacons in our church, and awesome deacons. It's amazing. You ever stop and think about what God thinks of you? Think about that for a minute. Well, how God looks at you right now. Do you think God views you differently than the way that you view yourself? Moses certainly did. Right? One of the things we'll do is, you know, we'll just kind of, well, I can't do this, I can't do that, you know. Well, maybe we start thinking along those lines of what God thinks about us. And we start changing our self-perception from, well, I'm a failure, I've got a lousy past because I've done all this, and so that kind of limits me going forward. I'm not really good. I'm ill-equipped. You know, a lot of excuses, people say, well, I just don't know the Bible really well, right? Oh, I could never do what they're doing. Maybe we go from that to a willingness to accept new responsibilities and new leadership roles, because maybe that falls in line with the path that God has for me, just like Moses. So after Moses raises these complaints, God says in verse 12, I will be with you. And then he gives him a couple examples. Again, we'll go back to the movie The Ten Commandments, you know, where God says, throw down that staff that you have, and he throws that staff down, and then what happens? Turns into a snake, right? Whoa, you know, grab it by its tail, he does, and it becomes a rod again. So, you know, God is showing Moses, I'm going to be with you. Look at the stuff that you know we can do, right? And then in chapter 4, when Moses complained about not being a good public speaker, God said, I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. And so here's our third wilderness lesson from Moses, and that is this: God promises to help me during this process of transformation. Friends, please hear me on that. Sometimes we you know, I've hopefully have drilled it into you that you never think that there is a time when God is not with you, right? God is always with us. I'm always saying that, always teaching the children that. God is always with us. But one of the other promises in the Bible, God says, is that I will help you in this process of transformation. The problem is we've tried to change before, and we've never gotten anywhere, right? Like, I tried doing that, fail. Well, I'm just not going to try again, all right? We don't just do it on our own. We don't just do it mind over matter, willpower. Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm sending to you a helper. The Holy Spirit, a helper, a advocate, okay? There's a story about some Bible translators of the Kare language of Equatorial Africa. People were translating the Bible, and they came across a challenge. How do we describe this word for the Holy Spirit, which in Greek is called paraclete? When Jesus says, I'm going to send a helper, the Greek word is paraclete. It means helper, it means advocate, it can mean comforter, right? How do we describe that in this language, in this Kare language? And so one of the guys said, one day, one of the translators came across a group of porters who were going off into the bush carrying these big bundles on their heads. And they all had a bundle on their head in this little group except one guy. And so they just reasoned, well, that guy must be the boss, right? He's the boss. He's telling them where to go and keeping them aligned and stuff like that. But they find out, no, that guy's not the boss. What he actually is that when one of the other guys in the group gets exhausted and begins to fall over, he comes alongside of them and takes their bundle, okay? And that porter actually has a name. He was known in the Kare language as the one who falls down beside us. And the translators realized, oh, we have our word for paraclete, right? The one who falls down beside us. God promises to come beside us to help us during this transformation process. So here's one of the things we can do. Here's kind of your homework, right? And I want you to take this seriously. Like, and I hope I say that every sermon, or I want to say that every sermon. Because what I don't want you to do is to just sit there and think, oh, that sounded nice. That was wonderful. That made me feel good. Because you know what I say about that, right? That's just kind of like peeing your pants. You get that warm, fuzzy feeling, but it doesn't really do anything for you. Let's go beyond the warm, fuzzy feeling. Let's talk about life change. That's what God wants from us, right? And so make a list of your perceived inadequacies. Okay, this is where you be honest with yourself. Have some time alone. You just write a list of your perceived inadequacies, right? Oh, I can never be, I don't have a good memory. I'm not a good speaker. I got a lousy past or whatever. Or I'm too shy, right? And then in the second column right beside that, I want you to write down all the promises of God that you can think of. You can even Google the promises of God. What are the promises of God? Get online and Google the promises of God and then apply those to what you just wrote. When God says, I will be with you. God says, I will help you. God says, I will lift you up and encourage you. I will give you strength. Okay? And so that's kind of some homework. Right? Who wants to hear about homework? But look at that list and then take a few moments in prayer and just say, all right, God, maybe I'll try something new. Or maybe I'll say yes to that, knowing that you will strengthen me. You will see me through that. Now, here's the deal in this whole story. Moses eventually could have just rejected God and walked away. He tried. But he didn't. He eventually said yes to confronting Pharaoh and liberating the people of Israel. But if he would have just said, no, I'm absolutely not going to do it, you know what? God would have raised up somebody else. And sometimes we think like that, right? Well, God will just, somebody else will do it, right? And Moses could have gone on his way. But despite his extreme reluctance, Moses chooses God's path. And that's what makes this story. I hope you will think about the beauty of this story and the beauty of Moses, because we always see Moses in this Cecil B. DeMille, But let's look at Moses. He represents the unwilling coward in all of us who would do almost anything to avoid stepping out of our comfort zone. You know what I'm talking about? And to think that if God can transform a guy like Moses, then he can do that to me and to you as well. That's the beauty of it. So like Moses, we all have the choice. We can either accept or decline God's invitation as we go into scary and uncomfortable situations. And we're all presented with the opportunity to walk the path of suffering and discomfort that ultimately leads to the death of our evil and selfish impulses as we become more like Jesus Christ. But it is a road that we must choose. Would you bow your heads, please? And I want us to think, again, thinking about transformation. Because transformation just doesn't happen automatically. Life change occurs when we stop to think and ponder about the changes that we want to make in our life. And so I want us to stop and think about what God is trying to tell us. What is God's invitation to you? What is God's call to you right now? How will you respond to God's invitation or his challenge? What are you going to do about it? God, we often hear that you want us to come just as we are. And that is true. But God, the scripture also says you do not want to leave us as we are. And so, Lord, may we have a deeper understanding that you want to transform us to become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. That you want to transform us so that we will be of more use to your kingdom here on this earth. And Lord, once we say yes to that, that can be hard, that can be scary. Because anytime we leave our comfort zone, it's like that. But Lord, may the Holy Spirit remind us of your promises. That you're always going to be with us. That you promised to help us, that you would teach us. And Lord, may we also have the understanding that this leads to the abundant life that you have called us to. So Lord, help us as we head out into our week. May we recognize your divine disruptions as you seek to get our attention and to transform us into Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen.